I want to do more of a big picture NFL conversation on the next guest. And I want to tell everyone right now, run, do not walk. Download the Athletic Football Show podcast, especially the one today. If you want to learn about, you know, what goes on behind the scenes about trying to hire a coach and a general manager and the mistakes that franchises make, or, you know, just the definition of culture. The most recent podcast out today, Amy Trask is on it, Dominic Foxworth. It's all hosted by my next guest, Robert Mays. Robert, I was listening to it this morning or this early afternoon, a really interesting listen.
I appreciate that. No, it's definitely a subject that I've long found fascinating, and it was great to get all those different perspectives from people. I hope that people potentially give it a try, because I think that it's a really interesting conversation with a lot of different things to chew on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And do both sides of it, people. Go get your, just nerdy football one on, you know, the Bengals and pass protection, but give this one a listen as well. So, Robert, you and my twin brother are Bears fans. I'm a Giants fan, so sorry, but I feel my team's in maybe worse shape. So both our teams need to hire a GM and a coach. What for you? You only can pick one. If you are rooting for your Bears to nail either the coach hire or the GM hire, and I'm not saying the other one's going to be a disaster. Maybe the other one's a B-. But if your team, if you're rooting for the Bears, which one do you hope they nail?
I think the coach. You know, I think that, you know, the GM, as long as you have somebody who solid processes, you know, it goes about it the right way. I feel like there are a lot of different types of GMs that can succeed. But if you have a really elite coach, like a guy who consistently puts you in the right spots and gives you an advantage, those guys are worth their weight in gold. So I feel like having a top 10 coach is more important, in my opinion, than probably having a top 10 general manager.
And I think that would apply, like, I think of the Pittsburgh Steelers. How the hell do they keep winning? And also, I'll go Sean Payton. How did that team win 9 games with those 4 quarterbacks? It's not like they started with an elite quarterback. They started with Jameis Winston, and it went down from there.
Those guys, I mean, that's a very small group, right? It's a very small collection of coaches that I think that kind of have a seat at the table there. And Mike Tomlin and Sean Payton are two of those guys. You know, if you can find one of those in that group, you have a consistent chance to be relevant every single year.
You talked about it in the pod. What for you is more impressive? A team that in a 5-year period manages to win a Super Bowl and then kind of goes away, or a team for 10 years never wins a Super Bowl but is making the playoffs 9 out of the 10 years?
Oh, it's definitely the latter to me. I mean, I think that's much more impressive and much more difficult to do. You know, as a fan, that moment where you win a championship, those are the best moments, right? That's what you're in this for. But in terms of how impressive it is and how high the degree of difficulty is, I absolutely think it's harder to be a consistent winner every single year. You know, teams do it in multiple different ways, right? You know, you have a team like Green Bay, when you have Aaron Rodgers, when you have arguably the best player in the NFL over that stretch, that's one way to do it. But you have other teams that have been such different versions of themselves. I think that two examples that would stick out to me are the Steelers and the Ravens. Right? In the Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger has been near the end. You know, this is a team that's been often carried by their defense, but then there was a stretch where offensively they were so good with Roethlisberger and the best version of Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. And then the Ravens, just think about how many different iterations of the Ravens that we've seen. And they've never really gone away. And I think that is the hardest thing to do, is maintaining that sort of competency and relevance over that stretch of time as different versions of yourself.
Joined by, as a Giants fan, I'm just, all I'm doing is reminding myself that they beat Brady twice in the Super Bowl, and I'm rejoicing that there's no more Gettleman in my life. The host of the Athletic Football Show and NFL writer with the Athletic, we're joined by Robert Mays. What's worse for a team, having a really lousy quarterback or having a one that's decent to sometimes good? You know, it's sort of like, I know I should buy a home, but I got really cheap rent and a nice view, so I never, you know, go off and buy a home. So I know this is a weird analogy, but it feels like having a Kirk Cousins or a Carson Wentz, it's a nice thing, but it'll never get you what you need.
If you have, I think that those guys are, I guess they're in sort of the same mold. The Carson Wentz thing, if you're going to have a quarterback who is solid, who is not going to be a top 10 quarterback, who's not going to be the reason that you win, he also can't be the reason that you lose. And that's the problem. If you're going to have that type of guy, you need somebody who's going to play virtually mistake-free football, who takes care of the ball, who is a safe option. And that's not what Carson Wentz is. So I would probably rather have – it depends on what version of that mid-tier quarterback you have, right? If you have somebody who can potentially pilot a top-10 offense with the right circumstances and surroundings and is also on a cheap deal, that's the other part of this.
Yeah.
If you have a quarterback that is the 16th best quarterback in the NFL, let's say, but he's on a rookie contract, you absolutely can win with that. If you're paying that 16th best quarterback $35 million a year, then the conversation changes. So I think it's about making that determination on whether you want that quarterback before you have to ultimately pay him. Like the Browns, if Baker Mayfield had played the way he did last year this year, and the Browns had taken a step forward, we thought, with the roster that they had, you can live with that. But you can't live with that version of Baker Mayfield at $30 million per season.
No, you can, it's God, that's going to be fascinating. Just, I mean, it feels like the smart move with Cleveland is just pay him the 18, whatever it is, million, see what you got this year, and if he becomes the guy you thought, then great. If you can have one of those guys, then you pay for it and you say goodbye to Kareem Hunt. You know, it just, but I at the same point, I don't think they should trade him. I don't think they should extend him. I don't know what you think, Robert. I think the smart move is just, let's see how it plays out.
Andrew Berry came out this week and said he believes Baker Mayfield can bounce back, and they are planning on Baker Mayfield being their starter in 2022. I don't think that's a lie. I just think that he should be listening to every single phone call, making every single phone call, exploring every single alternate avenue, and if no one ever finds out about it, then no one ever finds out about it. My stance on the Baker Mayfield thing was always you keep Baker Mayfield as your quarterback unless you have a better alternative. I think that's what all these teams should do, right? And that is the virtue of having an acceptable quarterback, is that you can have him be in that spot until you have to make a move, until you find a clear upgrade. And I think that's the way the Browns should be thinking.
There's a lot of jobs out there now for a head coach. Jacksonville feels like the obvious best place just because of Trevor Lawrence. But, you know, they've had, if you include Bevel, they've had five coaches this past decade. It's not a very smart ownership group. So you got Trevor Lawrence, but you also got ownership that's hired and fired a lot of coaches and GMs. But for you, Robert, is Jacksonville still the clear best place?
No, I don't think so at all. You know, the Trevor Lawrence part of that is really enticing, but for the reasons that you said, I don't think it can be the best place. And I would say that even if Trent Baalke had been fired, but the fact that Trent Baalke is going to stay there as the GM, I think that would scare off a lot of people. You know, if I were looking at all of the jobs that have come open, I think the one that would interest me the most is probably Minnesota. You know, they have the most stability of all the teams that have fired a GM or a head coach this offseason. You look at the patience that they showed with Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman. You look at just the facilities there, the quality of the organization there, how much they're willing to invest, all of those things. I feel like that job with the Vikings is a really attractive job. I mean, we'll see what happens with Kirk Cousins, and we'll see what happens with what the expectations of ownership are. But if ownership tells the next GM and the head coach, listen, we don't have to win in 2022. You know, this is a two-year rebuilding process. It's a two-year rebuilding process. That's fine. If that's the case, and they can trade Kirk Cousins, let's say, hypothetically, this offseason, or even stick with him, and you move into 2023 as this kind of soft reset, they're a blank slate of a roster, essentially with Justin Jefferson, two young offensive tackles, Eric Kendricks and Danielle Hunter, and a lot of money to work with, and no draft capital that they have traded away. So that, to me, would be the number one, just because I think that it's a good place to work, and you're pretty much starting from scratch in ways that some of these other teams aren't. You look at what the Giants have. Whoever takes that Giants GM job, it's a naughty job. You know, you have the Daniel Jones question that you have to answer, which is not an easy one to answer. This is a team that has like $2 million in cap space and one of the worst teams in the league. Like, that's hard to pull off. So I feel like the Vikings are very far removed from a situation like that.
Yeah, there's really nothing worse than when your team stinks and you have no salary cap. It's like, wait a minute. If you're going to be bad, at least have all the money they've spent. Anyway, we could do 10 minutes on Dave Gettleman. You mentioned there about timelines and owner expectations. And I always think about that when I think about Stephen Ross and his age. And I always wonder about this. This isn't any sport. I always think it's dangerous going to a team if you've got an owner who's in his 80s, who has never won, or maybe hasn't won in ages, like a Jerry Jones. I think as a GM, I'd always be nervous because it feels like the owner might promise a long timeline and mature expectations, but there's a lot of pressure to win if you're that owner at that age.
Oh, even owners that aren't that age. You know, how funny is it that Matt Rhule gets a 7-year contract in Carolina, which with all indications are, you got time. You know, you've got time to see this through. There's going to be a lot of patience. There's going to be a long leash. And then you get to this place where one offseason after they sign Teddy Bridgewater, they say, this isn't good enough. We need a new quarterback. We need to go out and get somebody else. I mean, things can change so quickly. And I think that you have to think about that in relation to every job. And that's why I would look at the past. I would look at how committed these ownership groups and these leadership positions have been to their other regimes. Even a job like Chicago, right? I mean, they don't have a first-round pick next year, but they do have Justin Fields. They have more financial resources and wiggle room than you might think for a team that's been underwater the last couple seasons. But look at how patient the McCaskies have been with the last couple regimes. You know, they gave Ryan Pace a long, long time to figure this out. And I think that makes something attractive. So I would go more on what we've seen from these groups in the past rather than what they might be saying in those interview rooms, what their age might say, all that kind of stuff.
Robert, as we let you go, and again, joined by Robert Mays, host of the Athletic Football Show. And again, just go to Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you go for your podcast. Download the Athletic Football Show. The one with you and Sando was great, and the one today was fantastic. Moving away from coaches, GMs, the roster building, do you have a favorite wild card weekend storyline? Is there one above all else that you're kind of keeping an eye on?
I just love Cowboys Niners as a game.
Oh, like, it's so like good.
I just love it as a game. I mean, you think about every aspect of it, right? The history, those uniforms on the field together at the same time, the sheer star power with those two teams. I mean, just think about how many guys. I mean, we put together our all-pro teams this week or last week on the Off-Play Football Show. I mean, list them off, right? Or even not even guys that are all-pro players, but are all-pro level players. Tyron Smith, Trent Williams, Zach Martin, you know, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, Trayvon Diggs, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, all of these guys, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, like, this is the NFL. Like, this is the NFL at its best. I know the quarterback play in San Francisco isn't high, high level, but you think about what that Niners offense looks like when it's rolling, how good the Cowboys defense has been. I mean, think about how many Jags-Texans games you wade through to get to this moment. This is the payoff. It's this weekend and next weekend, and that to me is the game that I just am really focused on and can't wait to watch.
Oh, hell yeah. Could not agree more. I want to see the 49ers defensive line against that offensive line. The 49ers started out 2-5. They've beaten a whole bunch of playoff teams. Is Dallas legit? And we always have the conversation just talking. I mean, Dak Prescott, you could do 2 hours of gas bag football TV and radio just on Dak Prescott alone. I can't wait. I can't wait for that game. I kind of like the 49ers getting 3 points, but that's a subject for Friday. Hey, Robert, really appreciate it. Love the work you guys are doing. Love The Athletic. Between Shieldcopedia's 17,000-word columns to the work you do to Sando and everyone in between, it's great stuff.
I really appreciate that. Talk to you guys soon.
Take care. That is Robert Mays from The Athletic.